Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
The Pet Doctor is brought to you by Dog.com. For everything and anything dog, shop Dog.com today for all the top brands. Greenies, Frontline, Kong, Nylabone, Royal Canin, and more. Shop at Dog.com and use the promo code SADDOC, S-A-D-D-O-C, and get $15 off your order of $75 or more.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Is it not uncommon for cat owners to call me when they believe their cat has a bladder infection? The cat is either flooding out the litter box or urinating all over the house, and all they want is a prescription for some antibiotics. Well, it's also not uncommon for them to get a bit miffed when I explain that I need to have them bring their kitty in for an examination. I listen, I look, I feel their cat all over. I explain that I need to run some blood and urine tests to rule in or out other possible causes of what they're seeing at home. The answer is sometimes diabetes mellitus. My guest today is Dr. Richard Edling. He's a professional services veterinarian for Boehringer Ingelheim Pharmaceutical Company. We'll be chatting about what is diabetes, why cats seem to be falling victim to this disease. Falling victim to this disease in greater numbers. How is it treated, and what can we do to decrease the chances of our cats coming down with this terrible disease? We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
so how do you feel about cat condos?
We can say from experience,
feels like home for her.
Enter the code DOCTOR10, D-O-C-T-O-R, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
Where have you been?
Oh, Graham, I've been busy, you know, racing, GoDaddy girl.
Oh, I built my own online store with GoDaddy.
Really? Let me see. Grandma'sAuction.com? Hey, aren't those Grandpa's golf clubs?
Grandma needs her bingo money.
Use promo code DOCTOR10, D-O-C-T-O-R, the number 10, and get a .com domain name for just $7.49 at GoDaddy.com.
If you ask the question, what do I want, what do I need, I'll take a back shot, I really should mention. I need time, I need love, I crave attention.
Love My Pets, the new single by Mark Winter, available in iTunes.
Attention passengers, please fasten your seatbelts, put your seat bags and sleeping pets in their full upright position, and prepare for takeoff.
Pet Life Radio presents Travel Tales, the show where you'll get great travel ideas on perfect places for you and your pet. From Paris to paradise, south of the border to the South Seas, Travel Tales will give you cool tips on fun vacation destinations to travel with your pet, pet-friendly hotels, and advice on how to travel safely and happily with your furry best friends. So, get ready to pack the bags and the bones with your Travel Tales hosts, Susan Sims and Nicholas Veslowski, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Edling, thank you very much for being with us today, because I really do think I'm seeing more diabetes in my practice. Am I crazy?
No, Dr. Cruz, I think we do, just as we see nowadays a lot more diabetes in people. The lifestyles of our cats has changed a lot. And so where we used to have cats that would go outside and hunt for their food and get exercise and a diet that's maybe a little bit more like their natural diet, now we have cats that are indoors all the time. And their idea of exercise is jumping down off of the sill and going down and getting some more great food to eat. So certainly there appears to be a link between the incidence of the diabetes and diet and lack of exercise and obesity. So I think that your observation is right on.
I mean, it is amazing because, yes, you're right. You know, I see these cats, but what's fascinating, typically when I see a diabetic dog, it seems to be on the slim side. And when I'm seeing these diabetic cats, they're on the chunky side.
Yeah. Well, and I think what happens is that in the while both dogs and cats get diabetes mellitus, the disease that we see is actually a little bit different. In dogs, it's kind of more like a juvenile diabetes in children, but in cats, they get an adult onset diabetes. Which is very much the same type of disease as we get as adults in people.
Well, you were talking, Dr. Edling, about the two main types of diabetes. So type 1, type 2 that people may be familiar with hearing, you know, on the news about people. Could you explain, number one, what is diabetes mellitus?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's kind of an interesting question because we probably all know either a family member or a friend that's got diabetes. And if we don't, we will. The incidence of diabetes in people is skyrocketing. And so we hear the name, but we don't necessarily understand exactly what this disease does. And the fact is that all of the cells in our bodies and our pets' bodies require sugar for energy. That energy is produced in different parts of the body. And then it's got to get to the inside of the cells to be available as an energy supply. Fact of the matter is it requires insulin to get the membranes of the cells opened up so that glucose can go in. And the problem is in diabetes, we don't have enough insulin to do that. Sugar builds up in the blood because it's still being produced. But it's not going into the cells. And so the cells think, oh, my God, I need energy. I'm starving to death. And so what happens is they tell the brain that we need more sugar here. We need more energy. And so eventually we get abnormally high levels of blood glucose. And that's what causes the disease of diabetes.
Now, that's more the type 1 diabetes, the juvenile.
You get into the juvenile diabetes that we see in dogs, that's true. Cats have got a little bit different. They tend to have the type 2, and I guess I kind of like to think of it as insulin-dependent versus non-insulin-dependent. Dogs that are diagnosed with diabetes will never produce insulin, and they will be on an insulin injection for the rest of their life, and nothing's going to change. In cats, we get something called insulin resistance, and early on, these cats, while needing insulin to get stabilized, some of these cats will actually go into remission and be able to survive the rest of their life without being on insulin. And part of that just depends upon when we catch the disease. So in dogs, if we when we catch the disease, we're already to that point of insulin dependency. Cats, if we catch it early, and it's a great, it's an important thing that if we start seeing some of the clinical signs of diabetes in our cats, we need to get them tested right away, because we may be able to have these cats go into remission and not require insulin every day for the rest of their lives.
When I tell clients that their cat or their dog has diabetes and they look at me going, oh no, I can't give an injection, you're saying that if they catch the signs early, especially with the cat, you may be able to reverse it. They don't need the insulin. What signs would they be looking for, and can they really see this if they're an astute observer of their kitty's behavior?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is true that, and I think it's a combination of things, that there is a significant portion of diabetic cats, if number one, caught very early in the course of the disease, and number two, we accompany insulin treatment with diet change. What's happened is that we've changed the world that cats live in. And if you think about what their prey is and you think about the nutritional attributes of the mice and the birds that they're eating, it's very different than a lot of the dried cat food that's out there. And so if we switch them to a very high-protein, low-carbohydrate diet, that's going to be a huge help as well. And so I think that there are things that we can do to help the diabetes go into remission, because I share your concerns about, you know, that look on our client's face when we say that their dog or cat has got diabetes. Cats are a bit worse because they're not always the easiest in the world to get a sugar on or to give injections, but really, at least early on, we need to get them to understand that that's our best chance of getting these cats to go into remission.
You mentioned diet, and people are always asking me, what is the best diet to give a cat? Is it canned? Is it dry? So in your opinion, do you like one or the other? Do you like commercial, or do you like these raw diets that are out of the markets now?
Yeah, I'm not personally a big fan of the raw diets. I think there's potential problems that we could see, and I don't see that much value in them over commercially prepared diets. There are diets first of all, as I said, we want a diet that very definitely is high in protein and low in carbohydrates. So if you think about it, that's what a mouse is or a bird is. And so that's what we're striving for. And it's pretty much impossible to do that with a dry diet. The corn, the soy, that's used to put dry diets together is going to be real high in carbohydrates. So we're not going to be able to do what we'd like with a dry diet as well. There are cats that will only eat that. But if not, I would prefer a canned diet, because I think we can get closer to the nutritional profile that we'd like.
What are some of the early signs? Is it going to be the cat that is peeing all over the house, or are there other subtleties that they should be looking for?
Well, I think that what's going to happen is for a pet owner, cat owner, to be able to diagnose diabetes, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge. Going to be a lot more of a challenge if it's an outdoor cat. So the things that usually our clients, why they bring their cat in to see us, is because it's peeing. And it's not that it's peeing in abnormal places, but instead it's just large volumes or larger than usual. If we have an indoor cat, subtle changes, and it doesn't happen just overnight, and it's not just, a huge change overnight. But they tend to use the litter box more frequently, and so there's a greater volume of litter that's got to be cleaned every time, that, you know, fun job we all love of litter box cleaning. And then they drink a lot more water. And so, I mean, as you said precisely in the beginning of the interview, there are other things that can cause dogs or cats to drink more and urinate more. But certainly diabetes mellitus in a middle-aged cat that's in a middle-aged cat is probably something we have to put high on our list of possibilities. The other things we obviously want to look at is appetite. These guys will be very hungry all the time, and they may be eating significantly more than what they normally would. Early on in the course of the disease, this tends to be in obese cats, and that's part of the mechanism for how this disease gets started. But later on, they start to lose weight. So they're actually eating voraciously, but they're losing weight. And so we see some pretty skinny cats that have diabetes.
I think that's one of the reasons you're talking about, you know, cats flooding out the cat box. One of the reasons why, though, I do not appreciate having to clean a cat box twice a day with my three cats. I know whether or not the urine balls are bigger, smaller, they're having diarrhea, what's going on. And with these automated boxes, it's like out of sight, out of mind. You get in there once a week, clean it up. You have sometimes no idea what's going on with your pet. So though cleaning the cat box isn't the most fun thing in the world, I think we learn a tremendous amount from cleaning out a cat box.
Yeah. And the challenges, as I said, the challenges we have are those cats that are outdoor cats or indoor-outdoor cats. And then, as you just mentioned, you know, you've got three cats that are using a litter box, and it's not always easy to tell, you know, who's the culprit. But certainly we're also going to monitor water consumption. And while we may not, you know, exactly know how much one particular cat is drinking, we'll probably see him at the litter bowl. At the water bowl a lot more frequently and a lot longer. So,
when you were talking about cats having high blood sugar, one of the reasons I think that at Laguna Hills Animal Hospital, where I practice, we love getting baseline blood work. So we're now even starting earlier. We used to say that cats and dogs at 7 years of age, that's when we start doing just basic monitoring. We've really pushed that back to three. And a lot of our clients are thinking, oh, you just want to make more money. But we're finding some of these conditions earlier by being able to see trends. So I know cats don't love getting into a car. You know, they get into a car ride, they know exactly, we're either going to the groomer, to boarding, or to go see Dr. Cruz. And that's not a lot of fun. Their blood sugar tends to go up when it spikes. Are there ways that pet owners, if I tell, I don't have my own cats that are diabetic being blood tested at home. What are your feelings of testing blood sugar? Because most people with diabetes realize they need to prick their finger, see what their blood sugar is. Dogs, it's a little bit easier. What do you recommend with cats?
Well, I do think, first of all, I want to comment on your statement about starting blood testing on these kitties earlier in the course of their life. And, you know, it may seem like a nuisance to get your cat to the veterinarian's office. There is a small amount of expense that's involved as well. But if I look at what we just talked about, that here's a disease where if we catch this early, we change the diet, we get them on insulin quick, we could actually have them go into remission and they would never need to be on insulin. And if I had to look at the possibility of getting my cat tested once every 12 months or every 6 months versus having to give an insulin injection, daily, there's just no question in my mind what I would prefer to do. I want to catch it early, and I want to try to get them to go into remission. So as far as testing, that is the biggest difference between dogs and cats. And unfortunately, cats get very stressed, and when they get stressed, like you said, you will see a spike in blood sugar, And so it's possible, and it depends upon how what the exact value is, but it's very possible to get, you know, an elevated blood glucose in a stressed cat, and it may not have diabetes. And so we have to be careful in interpreting. I think when we're making the diagnosis is fairly simple to make. If we see blood glucose that's, you know, above a certain level, then it's pretty easy to say that that dog or that cat's got diabetes. I do think that for the initial diagnosis, that going into the veterinary clinic and getting a full blood panel, we're just going to have to take into account that cats are stressed, and so we're going to have to interpret the results a little bit more carefully. Once we get to the point that we have a diagnosis, we've got the diet change, we've got the cat on insulin, now we're coming down to monitoring, and quite honestly, there's a couple of different things that you can look at, but I think bringing that cat in on a regular basis to the practice, especially the ones that get really stressed, is probably not worth the effort. Our clients can do a wonderful job. They know their cats a whole lot better than we do, and they can watch them. And if that cat's not urinating a lot, it's not drinking a lot of water, it's got a normal appetite, it's not losing weight, we probably don't need to worry about it. Cats do incredibly well with diabetes, so I think we need to be careful is not to over-test them, because it would be real easy to make the wrong conclusions based on those results. Certainly, if we can, if we've got cats that are relatively calm, it's a great idea to have our clients actually take a blood sample at home. And, I'm not recommending at all that they're going to be doing that on, you know, a daily basis, but certainly on a periodic basis, they can do that and get much, much more accurate results than we will in the veterinary clinic.
And you'd probably be able to do it once or twice, and the cat says, I'm under the bed, I'm not coming out.
Right, right. Yeah, and the thing is with cats, too, we have to understand, you know, as veterinarians, I think we're used to seeing cats that are in the clinic, and they're in a kennel, and we take a look at them, and they hiss at us and tell us that we're not their most favorite person in the world. And so we say, yeah, that cat's stressed, and we have to be careful about the results, the blood sugar results, because we could be just seeing a stress, what we call stress hyperglycemia. But the thing is, we don't realize is that, you know, especially in the practice, and this is where the huge advantage is of having our clients actually take blood samples at home, in the clinic, even those cats that seem calm, they're hiding under a blanket, just maybe, you know, he won't see me. And those cats are stressed as well, and those cats can get stress hyperglycemia as well. So that's a little bit of the challenge. That's why I tend to like the common sense approach. If they're, you know, the thing that we're worried about is drinking a lot of water, urinating a lot, losing weight, and if a cat's not doing that, then I say we're doing wonderful, and let's not change anything.
Well, I love your common sense approach. That's why I wanted to have you on the show. So we've been talking about testing and talking right now to Dr. Richard Edling from Boehringer Ingelheim. And we're going to see if we can test our listeners a little bit to sit, stay, listen to this commercial. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo
in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
The Pet Doctor is brought to you by 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. 1-800-PetMeds is your best source for pet medications, vitamins, supplements, and pet supplies. Get great savings, fast service, and free shipping. Go to PetMeds.com/doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Doc. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Edeline, thank you very much. You were talking before the break about testing. And for these kitties right now, wondering, is there a breed predilection? Is there one breed that's more prone to getting diabetes than another?
We see diabetes in all breeds. And so much of, cat population that we're seeing in practice is mixed breeds. So, I mean, it could be apart from a lot of different things. The one breed that has been identified has been the Bernese, and they tend, for some reason, have a slightly higher incidence of diabetes.
And am I crazy, but it seems as though orange and white male cats also seem to be more prone to getting diabetes.
Yeah, and I've actually got one of those that's looking at me right now, but as far as I know, he doesn't have diabetes.
I hope he's not fat.
He's not fat at all, but he can be really mean. I do think you're right. You know, we do tend to see it. I don't know that that's necessarily a breed, but I do think that, yes, we can see certainly males and certainly middle-aged to older.
Trying to control diabetes mellitus in cats. So we're trying to feed a canned food, not have them be overweight. With a dog, I know I was always taught to make sure, you know, there's two set meals, bigger meal in the morning, smaller meal in the evening. And then with cats, we would try to treat cats like little dogs and do about the same thing, set feedings. And I'm just having a horrible time, so I've kind of gone to, okay, just let them eat whenever they want to. You're the expert. What do you say?
I agree with you completely. I mean, it's wonderful to, you know, I mean, we have such a huge advantage just to start with. The MDs are like so jealous of us because when they have human diabetics, it's not so easy to have consistency in the diet. I mean, try getting a 16-year-old boy, you know, to not go to, McDonald's with his friends. It's hard, and they have to put together diets that, you know, are pretty similar nutritionally. For us, we have the advantage of complete control of the diet. So we get consistency. Every mouthful is exactly the same. And so I think they're, you know, we have a tremendous advantage, but only if they eat it. And I think that's the most important part, is that we want them to eat a consistent diet on a consistent basis. And therefore, we really, it would be nice to be able to do the two meals a day or three meals a day thing. But the fact is cats can be pretty darn stubborn, and it's more important that they control, that they're getting that diet on a regular basis, and they will actually maintain that themselves. So they don't always need us to be able to say, now it is time to eat. So, no, I agree completely.
Okay. And you were talking about insulin also at one point. There seems to be so many different types of insulin that people have access to. And I'd love to have you talk a little bit about insulin and cats, because we're all using human insulin in cats. And the human insulin is made for people, but we try to sneak it into cats. The pros and cons, please.
Well, I think there are actually, in cats, there are three basic options that we have. So there's a product called Vetsulin, and it is an intermediate-acting insulin. There's some questions and some issues right now just about manufacturing and the ability for regular availability. So I think most people, even though it's a good insulin, most people have kind of backed away from it because you want to be able to have consistency and you want to know that that insulin's going to be there. There is one human insulin on the market that people do seem to use a lot of in cats, and that is insulin glargine. And that's an insulin that's pretty popular in people. It's used differently in people, and it's kind of a background insulin, and it's given once a day. And then they're, in addition to the once a day, then people are taking a really short-acting insulin with each meal. And so we've tried that in cats because we really, I mean, it works in cats, but we really had hoped that it would be a once-a-day insulin. And the fact is unfortunately, it's still a twice-a-day insulin. We recognize that it's tough to give cats insulin. And so anything we can possibly do to decrease the frequency, well, we definitely would like to be able to offer that to our clients. Problem, I think probably the biggest issue, it is a little bit more expensive than some of the other insulins that are out there, but it's not as stable. So you're supposed to, you know, use it up within a month. Well, given the size of the insulin, and the size of the bottle and the concentration and the fact that it's designed for people, that's a bit of a challenge. So you end up having to throw a lot of it away. Just recently, towards the end of last year, we got a new insulin, and really now it's the only insulin that's FDA approved for use in cats that's available on a regular basis, and it's called Prozinc. And it is a kind of a new version of another insulin that we had, and it works excellent in cats. It's a twice-a-day insulin. As I said, it's FDA-approved. I think the advantage is by being FDA-approved, you know that the research has been done to show that it's safe and that it works. So those are really pretty much our options today. All are twice-a-day. The glargine is a little bit, as I said, not real stable. The Prozinc has got like a 2-year shelf life. So those are kind of the options that we have. And different, you know, veterinarians, we're used to using certain products. And so we'll pick one that we feel comfortable has worked well for us. And so, you know, your two options today would be basically Prozinc and glargine.
I'm chatting right now with Dr. Rich Edling of Boehringer Ingelheim, and you're talking about all these various insulins, and I think it would be interesting for the listeners to know exactly what is insulin, where does it come from? We get used to having antibiotics. Some are synthetic and some are, you know, derived from various sources. What is insulin? Where does it come from? Is Prozinc, this new FDA-approved insulin that's working very well in cats, and I have some kitties on it, the source of that? Natural, synthetic?
Yeah, that's actually, it's kind of like the glargine. Both are human insulins. And insulin itself is actually produced in the pancreas and the dog, the cat, the person. And basically, when I talk about something being recombinant, it's just we used to have insulins a long time ago. What we had to do is we'd take a species that was similar to the species that we wanted to treat, and we would, you'd have to go, and whether it was pigs or cattle, go to slaughterhouses and get pancreases, which again is where the insulin is produced, and then isolate out the insulin. So it was really, truly insulin from those species. The idea of recombinant is that you know, it's sometimes a challenge. I mean, as you can imagine, to go to a slaughterhouse and get enough pancreases to be able to supply a market for insulin. And so basically, as a manufacturing technique, what pharmaceutical companies do is they actually take DNA, which codes for the production of this insulin, which is a protein molecule, and they splice it into a bacteria, a particular type of bacteria, and then just grow it in these great big vats. And these vats, then they kill off the bacteria, so it becomes, it's just a manufacturing source. So Prozinc and Glargine
So even though it has bacteria associated how it started, it's still very safe, and they're not going to get sick because it came from a bacteria.
Oh, yeah, because what we're talking about is we're talking about, yeah, the bacteria, as I said, is just growing the insulin, and that's all totally killed off before the insulin, because the insulin molecule itself is not a living molecule. So we can kill off all the bacteria in the vat and just be able to identify the insulin with absolutely no risk of bacterial contamination.
So if you had to kind of sum this all up, if you don't want your cat to fall victim to diabetes mellitus, what would you say are the maybe three or four most important things for a cat owner to do?
I think the number one thing, of course, is I would not let my cat get obese. Because if I have an obese cat, it's going to have a significantly higher incidence of diabetes. Number two, I love what you're doing in your practice by going ahead and having all of the cats that come see you get some blood work done early on in life. Because if we can catch this disease early, we know there's a reasonable chance that we can treat it. The other thing that I've, you know, really probably would be remiss if I didn't say is, and, you know, we're all aware of this in people, you know, there are some potential long-term consequences of diabetes. It's not just that they're drinking more water and urinating more. So we can kind of help prevent those adverse events from occurring. And then the other thing, too, is, as I said, I would feed a high-protein, low-carbohydrate diet that's balanced for all life stages. And as you said also, I love the idea of as much as it would be nice to be able to, you know, just use a self-cleaning litter box, it is important that we look and see what's going on. And that's especially critical in people that have, you know, just one cat in the household. You can be a pretty good diagnostician despite by doing those four things.
This has just been some excellent information, and you kind of teased on, and I should have asked more about what are some of the consequences for not getting the diabetes under control, but I think we've started the conversation. Hopefully the listeners, if they feel their cats are maybe drinking a bit more, urinating more frequently, especially they're on the chunky side, maybe a little older, make sure you get your cats into your veterinarian at least once a year. Twice a year is probably even better for a good, thorough wellness exam. And if they're finding some evidence that, maybe putting on a little weight, all right, get that weight under control. Blood sugar's a little high. Let's follow that one up. So, Dr. Edlin, you've given us some great information. I do appreciate you being with us today.
You are very welcome. And even if you bring your cat in and it doesn't have diabetes, it's a little bit overweight, you can figure out a plan to get the weight off. And also look for other things. So diabetes is a treatable disease. We're not going to cure it, but it's very definitely treatable. So, don't panic if you hear the diagnosis of diabetes.
And giving a shot isn't all that tough. I haven't had any of my clients die for giving those injections. It can be done.
Definitely can be done. I think people, we tend to think, oh, my God, I think about my cat, and what would it be like to have to give him injections twice a day? But you know what? They adjust. They're remarkable creatures.
I think they're much more malleable than we are sometimes.
I am 100% sure of that.
Well, we've been chatting today with Dr. Rich Edling. He is a professional technical services veterinarian, professional services veterinarian for Boehringer Ingelheim. I'll get that one straight. So thank you very much for listening. If you have questions on your pet's health, best person to ask is your primary care veterinarian, but you can always email me at thepetdoctor@petliferadio.com and I will answer your questions. So thank you, Mark, our producer, for editing this for us and getting up on the internet. We do appreciate it. And come back and listen again next week when we'll have some more information on how you can be the best pet owner possible. Take care and thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.